Thank you. We're joined as usual by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, Rhode Island.
And University of Rhode Island political science professor Maureen Moakley. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone.
We're pleased to welcome back as our guest, state treasurer and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gina Raimondo. Thank you for joining us, treasurer.
Hi, good morning. Thank you.
Both our guest, Gina Raimondo, and one of her Democratic rivals, Angel Tavares, rolled out plans this week to improve Rhode Island's economy. Both plans target using public colleges and trying to match workers with better skills. Treasurer, your plan is focused on manufacturing jobs. It seems like a long-term plan. If the goal is to get more manufacturers back to Rhode Island, why not just directly solicit them and invite them to come to Rhode Island?
Well, I think that would be part of the plan. You know, my opinion is Rhode Island's in a jobs crisis. We don't need to do one thing. We need to have a whole strategy to bring back this economy. And so what I rolled out on Monday was the first of a five-part plan, and that is a focus on manufacturing. I mean, let's face it, Rhode Island used to be a manufacturing powerhouse. I bet you every one of you had friends or family that worked in a manufacturing company. We lost tens of thousands of those jobs, and now for the first time in decades, manufacturing is coming back from Asia, from China to America. And I want to have a strategy around workforce training, around innovation, around skill development to get our fair share of those manufacturing jobs in Rhode Island.
Let's get Scott in here. Scott, what do you make of the treasurer's plan to boost manufacturing jobs in Rhode Island?
I worry a little bit that it's based too much in what I call the warm bath of nostalgia. If you go around Rhode Island, people say things were better when the mills were running and everybody had jobs. Well, that's nice, but the fact of the matter is, and it's sad, but some high-end manufacturing may be coming back. But when she talks about jewelry companies and textile companies, that great philosopher Bruce Springsteen said, it's gone. They ain't coming back.
Yeah, well, actually, I agree with that. And the way I put it was, my father's manufacturing isn't coming back. You're totally right. Costume jewelry, that's probably gone forever. But the new manufacturing of today that is coming back is more technical, it's science-based, and we got to build on our strength, food science, marine science, health science. Those manufacturing jobs, advanced manufacturing, if you will, they're coming back, and if we put ourselves in a position to capture those jobs, I think we can create tens of thousands of jobs.
Maureen, how do you rate these two jobs plans from our guest and from her rival, Angel Tavares?
Well, I think they're a piece of the picture, but my question for the treasurer is this. What about taxes? A lot of people talk about the short-term fix. A closer fix would have to do with corporate taxes, estate taxes, startups. Where are you on that position?
So I've spent a lot of time, you know, first of all, I ran a business here for more than 10 years. And then in the past 2 years, I've spent an awful lot of time going out, talking to people that run companies, big companies and little companies. And I sit down with them and I say, what's it going to take for you to add your next 100 or 1,000 jobs in Rhode Island? Surprisingly, you rarely hear them talk about taxes. The number one thing that comes out of their mouth is skills and skill development. If you talk to a manufacturer, they do talk about regulatory reform.
Yeah, what about the regulatory atmosphere?
Right. They do talk about that, and I think we have work to do. You know, too many businesses, especially small businesses, feel that there's almost an adversarial relationship with government instead of government saying, how can we help you? How can we streamline? What kind of a toolkit do you need? It's not that taxes aren't a piece of the puzzle, but I don't think it's the most important piece.
Tricia, as part of your campaign for governor, you've been emphasizing some liberal positions like giving driver's licenses to undocumented immigrants, more stringent gun control, and supporting the minimum wage. This makes sense in a Democratic primary where there's a stronger liberal turnout. But are you concerned at all that this might alienate more independent-minded voters either in the primary or the general election?
No, not at all. I mean, I think people know who I am. I'm a problem solver. I look to solve problems. I take a practical view. And, you know, that's what I've done as treasurer, and that's how I will govern as governor. I think the difference now is running for governor, I'm able to talk about a broader range of issues, not just pensions. So, you know, if you had asked me 5 years ago, where do you stand on guns, I would have told you the same thing then, that as a mom dropping off my kids every day in public school, I'm worried about it. I'm worried about their safety, and I think we need common sense gun control. So I think that's why you'll hear me talk about those things now. If there's one thing about me, I think people know, I can handle opposition. I'm going to always try to do the right thing for all the people of Rhode Island.
Let's go to a question from Scott.
There's been a lot of talk in education circles about the role of high-stakes testing in graduating students from high school and also in evaluating teachers. Can you elaborate how you feel about those issues?
It's a big issue. And again, as a mom with two kids in public school, it's something I think about all the time. I would say a couple things. If we're going to prepare our children for 21st century jobs and get this economy going, there's almost nothing more important than making sure our public schools work and get these kids trained with these skills. So we have to do that. I'm a proponent of the Common Core. I think we should move to the Common Core. It's a curriculum that's being adopted around the country. And I do think that we have to have accountability, and testing is a component of that. Having said that, it's very upsetting to think that if you were to impose the kneecap now, something like 30 or 40% of kids in Providence wouldn't graduate. That is, to me, a red flag that we're letting our kids down. Again, as a mother, I couldn't imagine someone coming to me and saying, your kid can't graduate. So I do think we should relax that and allow these kids now to graduate.
We read in the Providence Journal this week about how there was very modest turnout for a meeting about the selling and development of 19 acres made available by the relocation of I-195. Treasurer, if you're elected governor, how would your approach be different to trying to make the best use of this land?
So the job of a governor and the mayor of the capital city is to work together with urgency to set out a vision for 195 and to hustle day in and day out to have action more quickly. I have been disappointed at the pace that has developed, and still I haven't heard a real vision for what, you know, that property should be. What I would like to do and what I called for is to take some parcels of that land to really use it to jumpstart economic development by partnering between industry and some of our universities to create centers of innovation, which then over time will spur innovation that'll lead to advanced manufacturing in Rhode Island.
Maureen, quickly, what's your explanation for why we're not seeing more interest right now in the former I-195 land?
I think it's a short-term kind of question. I think we have to sell it better. I think that's what you're talking about. And I'm leery of, I think we have to include the Ed's Meds aspect of it. But I also think we have to get business and private enterprises in there and playing a large role. The government can't run this whole thing. It's got to be a mix and a workable mix.
I totally agree with that. I do agree with that. But I do think the government's role is to be a convener to attract private industry and private capital.
What do you say, Scott?
Well, look, first things first, you have to do the infrastructure first. I think that they've been doing a decent job with that. A news outlet wrote a story because five people showed up at a hearing. Guess what? That's not a story. But they put it on page one anyway. I guess they sent a reporter out there. I mean, this is foolish. First of all, we know that Rick and URI are putting in a nursing school there. Brown has a medical school there. It's going to take some time. And you don't want to be like Newport after the Navy left. Allow people to put slapdash stuff right down there on this beautiful harbor. So I don't think you just take the first person who comes along. You need a long-term vision for the city, and you want the right kind of development there. And yes, we do need private sector stuff, but I think given that Brown already has 1,000 people working in the jewelry district, we should urge the universities, frankly, I know they're tax exempt, but we should urge them to put some more jobs down there.
We're running short on time, but Gina Raimondo, we can't let you leave without asking about Michelle Kwan's missing Prius and what you think it says about Claypell and his capacity to be governor.
Oh, well, look, I think we're all going to have ups and downs in this campaign. I feel for them that happened. And, you know, we all do crazy things like that. So I'll leave it at that. I don't think we should extrapolate and say what that means.
We're out of time, so we have to leave it there. Thanks for joining us on Roundtable. Scott.
Thank you.
Maureen.
Thank you.
And State Treasurer and Democratic gubernatorial candidate Gina Raimondo.
Thanks.
We're funded by you, our listeners, and by the Robertson Foundation, continuing the commitment of its founder, Stephen Hamlet, to honest government in Rhode Island through in-depth political coverage. And if you enjoy the conversation, please visit our On Politics blog at ripr.org.